it suits. Attire for all occasions. North Point Business Park, Blackpool, Cork. Proud sponsors of All That Matters.
Hello, good evening, and welcome back to Cork Matters. On my show tonight, my guest is Conor Coonan, known and loved, I believe, by his nickname, Miley. But there's one thing we can say about him. In 1990, Cork won the double, right? And after 20 years, they succeeded with the football, right? And the man who took him out of the famine is the one and only Mr. Conor Coonan. So it's my privilege to welcome to our show Mr. Conor Coonan. Good evening, Conor. How are you?
Not too bad, Julie. Not too bad.
Good be God. Listen to you. Listen, just tell me, I know the introduction I gave you about your nickname being Miley. Now, where did you get the nickname? Was it from the guy in Glenroe?
I think he was around that time, all right, as the fellow said, kind of threw that out at one stage and it stuck in a few places.
Right, well, had you a big head of hair like Miley? I had.
A small bit.
But anyway, so Conor, what I'm going to say to you is, look, can you just tell me a little bit about your life growing up in Cork?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I was born and reared in Ada, which is, you know, obviously East Cork and that sort of thing, which, you know, would be, I suppose, normally more hurling area than the football area and that sort of thing. But look, I suppose I went to school, I had a national school, and you know, went to Middleton CBS and Middleton Vocational School after that. Left school at 15 years of age, and went about serving my time as a pipe fitter in Verome Cork Dockyard at the time, which was a massive employer, employed over 1,200 people at the time. And I spent 4 or 5 years there, and then I worked in construction and down in Limerick in the Auganish when the construction of that was there. And I went from there then. I spent a bit of time in the Trebolgan Holiday Centre. I was labouring there at the time in terms of the construction of that. And I spent a few months in New York in 83, I'd say, was it? And came back from there, sold to insurance, like many fellas, for a short period of time. And I went from that then into working with people with special needs, which was something I probably did for the best part of my working life. I worked with rehab group there for a good number of years. First of all in Cork, but then I worked in Dublin as general manager in Dublin for quite some time. And I probably spent about 17 years at that. And then I went from that, and I worked with an organization in Charleville, St. Joseph's Foundation. I worked there as the CEO there for 17 years, and currently employed by the Cork County Board in terms of my role as the coordinator of Cork Football 5-year plan. So I suppose that's the career, as the fellow said, the working career anyway.
Conor, coming back to it there, you said you worked in the rehab. Were you attached to Our Lady of Lourdes in Rochestertown Avenue in Dunleary?
No, that would have been part of the group, all right, like, you know. But I mean, look, rehab, you know, is it's involved in the 26 counties in Ireland in various shapes. Like, I mean, there's a training element to it, and then there was a kind of a workshop element to it, which was the part I was involved in my time. But no, it's a massive organization and has done great work for people with special needs over many, many years, and continues to do so.
Now, Conor, what I was going to say to this, right? You're just going back to it, like, in your young life, as regards your athletic prowess, where did it all start, with either football or the hurling?
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, to be honest about it, at that time, there wasn't a whole pile else to do, if I were to be perfectly honest with you. And I suppose I took to all sports. I just had a bit of a passion for all sports. I tried everything. I mean, we had a very good tennis club here in Ada at the time, and still have. I played tennis. I played pitch and putt. I boxed with St. Coleman's Boxing Club. I was beaten in two Munster finals in that. I played rugby, I played soccer, and I played obviously hurling and football then as well. So I had a very active childhood from that sense. Now, look, I would always consider myself a kind of a bit of a tryer. I wasn't a natural at any of them, but I suppose as time grew on, I suppose, you know, you couldn't keep them all going. And I suppose I had a bit of an issue then when I was about, I suppose, around 14, I was diagnosed as celiac. So I had to go on a gluten-free diet then for a number of years. But once I went on the diet, you know, my energy levels improved significantly. And I suppose as a result, my sporting performance has improved. And I suppose my focus was in very much in football, even though I played quite a lot of hurling for the club here as well. And I was fortunate enough that things moved on. Like I didn't play minor for Cork. I played under 20 and won an All-Ireland under 20 medal with them. And I was on the senior panel then for a year, but was dropped off it and came back. And I was fortunate enough to play it in from maybe 84 up until 93, which was, you know, a very good period for Cork football. Very fortunate to be around that time.
Yeah, and I see there that you mentioned you played the tennis, right? And to be honest about it, were you a bit of a John McEnroe?
I wouldn't, you know, my temperament wouldn't be too bad. No. I wasn't as bad as John anyway, certainly I wasn't.
So I had to get that in, because John McEnroe was the man around our time, wasn't he?
That's right, exactly. He'd be known for giving a bit of a few expletives.
He would, all right. But, right, moving on a little bit further. Through your life, obviously, look, people have come through your life. You've been in situations, you've read things, you've lines, quotations, lines and songs, or even people. Was there any particular thing that influenced you in your life going forward?
I suppose, look, there's a lot of people at different stages. Look, I suppose, in terms of school, I suppose, there was a headmaster in the school at the time in Ada, a fellow Sean Power, who would have had a big influence on me from my footballing side, you know. And you know, I suppose working, so my working life then, you know, I worked with a lot of good people, and I had a guy called Michael O'Sullivan who was my boss in rehab, who was very good, and probably learned a lot from him. And I suppose, you know, just in general life then, you meet a lot of people, and you know, in sport in particular, and I suppose sport is a great grounding for people, I feel, because there's so many good days, but there's often an awful lot more bad days, and you learn to take the knocks in life. You know, you're resilient. Like, you know, I can remember as clearly today losing a county under 12 final as I would maybe an All-Ireland final kind of a thing. And you know, that prepares you for life as such, because look, life isn't that easy. You know, there's ups and downs in it. And no, I've been fortunate enough, you know, that I've been lucky enough in life to have been, you know, relatively successful from my own point of view, but and not having any major tragedies, where some families, you know, and individuals are stuck with fierce tragedy in it, you know. And you know, I suppose, you know, I've learned a bit from that too, because, you know, I remember working in Childwell, and a young colleague of mine, you know, with three young kids, you know, died, you know, at a very young age. And I remember saying to myself at the time, you know, I always had a passion and interest in horses and horse racing. And I suppose Cheltenham was a place I often spoke about going. But I remember when that girl passed away, you know, I said to myself, the next time, next March comes around, I'm going to Cheltenham. And, you know, because life is just too short. You need to do it while you can. And I suppose, you know, lessons like that, like, you know, they shape you in life in terms of, you know, be thankful for how lucky you've been and that sort of thing. And people might often say in terms of your career, maybe you could have won this or won more. But look, you know, you have to be thankful for what you have achieved, because many people never get that opportunity. And life is an awful lot about luck and being in the right place at the right time, whether it's your working life or whether it's sport, you know. But I suppose, you know, I suppose from an early age, I suppose that we've been, I'd have had a good work ethic, and that would come from family, because look, you know, we weren't by any means, you know, a wealthy family. We lived in a terrace house, and you know, like, we did everything to try and make a few bob. If it was picking periwinkles, picking spuds, picking tulips, weeding, beet, anything at all. Like, and I suppose we learned the value of money, you know. So like that type of grounding, it's hard to beat, you know. It's better than an awful lot of education, like, that you get to put a value on things.
Yeah, so it's in life. Life is the educator, in a sense, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Life is the educator, yeah. But what I'm saying to you is this, now, you probably would have heard a little bit of noise there in the background, right? Yeah. And you probably heard a dog bark and the dog come off the scene. So my microphones, I just had to shut down my mics for a few moments, right? Now, other than that, like it must have been a great experience, like, to me now, if I, like, sorry about this. But what I'm saying to you, don't you really learn from the losing than the winning?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
The more you lose, the more you learn.
Oh, you do. And look, it's a bit, again, it's a bit like life in general. When you're down, that's when you really know where your friends are. And sport is very similar. Like, I mean, you can, you know, win an All-Ireland there and everyone is delighted with you, patting on your back, and you lose, and all of a sudden, no one wants to know you. But look, I often felt, you know, you'd go for a few sociable drinks after a thing like that with the people close to you. And those moments, you know, were very enjoyable too, like, you know. But absolutely right, like, you know, losing, it treats you a bit about humility and that sort of thing. And, you know, when you do win, then you value it that bit more.
Yeah. Now, I was just, like, you were talking about the people who come into your life. And basically, I think you grew up the way we all grew up. You're a man, what, about 61, 62, is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you're the same vintage as myself. So basically, that's what we knew growing up. Same, you know, sport was our outlet. We all came from, we're a very united community. Everyone just grew up to school, had their own lives together, right? And we gelled as a community. Now, outside of that then, I'm going back to that win in 2010, right? Which, as I said, that was the year you were the man who relieved them from the famine, or led them out of famine. So, yeah. Okay, tell me the feelings alone and how it was for you that year, 2010.
Yeah, look, no doubt about it. It was a great year, you know, and people might say to you, was it better than winning in All-Ireland or that sort of thing? But look, I think everything is relative in terms of the stage of your life that you're at and that sort of thing. But look, I suppose, you know, that particular year, look, I was very fortunate to take over a group that, you know, other people had done a lot of work with, people like Billy Morgan and that. And like, I suppose they were, you know, when we took over in 2008, like, you know, we were in Division 2. And there was a lot of work because they had suffered a few heavy defeats and things like that. But look, I mean, slowly, you know, we started working on things, you know, areas where we felt we needed to improve and, you know, and get the chemistry right within the group, you know. And when I say within the group, I'm talking about 30 players and, you know, the 10 or 15 backroom team, and everyone being focused on, you know, what was the ultimate was to win in All-Ireland. And, you know, we had a few setbacks along the way, but you know, eventually we got over the line. And look, it was a fantastic feeling, you know, as much for the group as for yourself. Because look, I suppose if you're, you know, I was fortunate enough to win one. These guys, you know, worked extremely hard. I couldn't ask any more of them, and to see them achieve their goal was just fantastic. Just to sit back and enjoy that and see the satisfaction it brought to them, but also to their extended family and to the wider Cork footballing community. Because look, we don't win Football Ireland that often in Cork, so you know, people really value it when you do then. And Asher, with some great celebrations and great days.
Yeah, going back to it there as well. I was just reading, but before you come on, before I brought you on, I said I just have a good read about you, right? And what I actually came up with, you had a very relaxed managerial style. That's what it said about you. You're a very laid-back managerial style, like.
Yeah, actually, look, I don't know about that. We might look relaxed up front, but look, I suppose we're tense enough. But look, I suppose, you know, the way I looked on that is, you know, I had, you know, been through many managers myself as a player and that sort of thing. And then I always felt like it was important as a manager, regardless of what you're feeling inside that you had to kind of create this image to your players that you were confident in terms of what you were about, because I think that impacts on the players. If they see you nervous or see you jittery or that sort of thing, you know, they're kind of saying, gee, look, this is the guy we're depending to lead us. And, you know, he's kind of all over the place. And I suppose, you know, when I say lead us, you know, I suppose typically my style of management, I'd like to believe, was one of where I'd give ownership to the players and they would take it on. You'd try and facilitate it as best you could. But look, at the end of the day, you know, I never kicked any ball in any of those, in that 2010 final or anything else. You know, it was the guys that, you know, started out and the guys that came on and the guys who maybe didn't come on but pushed the other fellas, you know, to achieve the standard that they achieved. You know, that's what made it. So, I mean, in terms of being relaxed, look, I wouldn't say I was totally relaxed, but look, I enjoyed my time with that group, regardless of what we did or didn't win. There's just a great bond there within them, and that bond is still there to today.
Well, that's the most important thing, isn't it? Really, isn't the sport that binds people together, you know what I mean? Excuse me, because I was only listening to an interview there recently, Don Moylan, is it? That guy up, did he manage the, is it the Westmeath team he managed?
Oh, right, maybe.
What's his name again? Jeez, I can't think of it now. I'm very bad on it.
Right.
The guy that does all the herbs, herbology.
Oh, Sean Boylan.
Yeah. I thought it was Moylan. Yeah. Sean Boylan, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard him come out with a very good point. He says, when you get out on the pitch, he says, the rivalry will be there. He says, but the same teams that played that match that day, they'll be meeting each other for a game of golf the following day. And he says, it really is the unifier, isn't the sport?
Oh, it is. And look, we all go out, and what happens in the hour happens in the hour. And generally speaking, most people park it at that. And you know, and look, you know, time catches up with you pretty quickly and you're no longer playing. But like, you do like to meet those people and have a chat with them. And, you know, as I said, you'll have good days and bad days in it. And, but it's great. Like, and you know, I remember, like, the other thing about the GAA is it's so local. Like, I mean, the reality is you could win so many All-Irelands and that sort of thing, but like, when you come back home, like, they don't want to talk about the All-Irelands that you won. They want to talk about the junior championship that you won 20 years ago or whatever. And like, and that's what's important, because that's where you started out, that's where you, you know, and that's where you finish up.
Yeah, super. So I would say that, right, you talked about the people you met going through your life and the people who influenced you, so on and so forth. But what I'm going to say to you is this, right? Was there any particular player that ever stood out to you in your life?
Sure, I suppose you're typically kind of looking at players you played with, like, and I mean, there'd have been, you know, numerous players there now, like Larry Tompkins, Stephen O'Brien, Niall Callan, Teddy McCarthy, like, you know, really exceptional players, all with different type of qualities, but all capable performing at the highest level. I suppose Teddy in particular, I suppose the fact that he was a dual player, like, and could manage the two, you know, he was an incredible fella. Very, very laid back, like, you know, at the same time inside him then, like, when it came to it, he was seriously competitive and he had that ability to perform on the big day that not everyone can do.
Yeah. Now, as I say, to every guest I bring on, right, I say to them the one thing, we're all passing through this life, right? We're all passing through this life and we're going to go on to another life, so we believe, right? So when you go there, outside of those who have gone before you, those that are nearest and dearest, is there anybody else you would like to go up there and make a beeline to the minute you get behind the turnstiles?
Yeah, so listen. I suppose I could. You could fill the place with a fierce crowd. Like, I mean, as a young Flair now, I'd have been a fierce admirer of Muhammad Ali. Like, yeah. You know, I'd have enjoyed the boxing and like even the whole, I suppose, carnival or circus that went with him. Like, there was something about that. Like, but even, you know, I suppose in racing now, which is something that I have a big passion for, National Hunt and that sort of thing. Like. Yeah. Fellas like, you know, Davey Russell and you know, all of these guys. Like, if I my life over again, I'd love to get up on a horse and jump a fence. You know, I just think there must be a great old feeling in that. Like, you know, it's one of the things that I really would like to do.
Well, I tell you, you're going to, you may not realise it, right? But this interview is coming from Thurles. Comes to the prairie.
Right.
And as you know, we have been very lucky ourselves, our Tipperary woman, Rachel Blackmore.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, fair juice and things like that. Now, I know you're talking about horses because my own son is also involved in horses, you know, show jumping and eventing and things like
all
that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's always been his bend, like, you know what I mean? So we've been through all this, you know, the RDS and all these occasions, right? You know, been around it. And it's a great experience. It's a fantastic experience, you know, to go there, be around this, and just actually see my own son doing what he's doing with it. And when you see, like, our Rachel Blackmore herself, like, she's just started off at that level, just, you know, pony jumping to start this mini maxi things and eventing and all this. That's where she started, and she's come on. She has really made her mark. Now, she is in the home of horsey country, like down there, like she's in Feddert, Killinall area. So, like, you're not too far from Coolmore out there, and you know, the likes of the great trainers that we know around between Cashel and Tipperary, as you know yourself, between Cashel, Killinall, Feddert.
Yeah, but like, you know, outside of all that, like, it's just still a phenomenal story. Like, you could look, I think there's no way anyone could have envisaged, you know, her getting to where she's got to. And like, you know, I just look at her there during some of the big meetings there, whether it was Cheltenham or not, you know, she'd ride a winner. Next time had she 3 or 4 falls over the festival meeting, like, but she got up, like, again, like, to have that resilience and willpower, like, you know, That's what really separates the good from the real class, people. And like, she oozed class in that. Like, you know, other people's confidence would be knocked back. She'd get up and she'd, you know, ride the next winner and that sort of thing. Like, it was, you know, and, you know, to be fair to her, you know, for many years, you know, it was a male-dominated sport as such, like, in terms of those that were most successful, you know. She's just blown that out of the water.
What, she's blown out of the water? Look, there's very successful female trainers out there as well. When you had the likes of Jenny Pittman and all these out there years ago, right? You might remember Jenny Pittman. Yeah. She trained, I think her first big hit was Corbier. But, excuse me. Like, when you look at that, like, when you look at Rachel Blackmore, you know, from what I can gather is that, like, right, I won the race, right? I've lost the race, right? Let's get up and go to the next race. Let's focus on the next race. That kind of, that's the mindset. Like, basically, you have that mindset to yourself. I can see that in you. Just, right? We play the game. We've lost. We learn. Right? We've won the game. Let's get on and see can we do as good in the next one.
I'd have a quarter of what she'd have, like, but, like, it is... Like, if you have that mindset, it's great. Like, and in life in general, you know, something goes wrong, you know, you can beat yourself up about it or you can do something about it. And like, she's the type of person that was moving on, as you said, let's go to the next one. Like, you know, I mean, and look, obviously in life, we all make mistakes and we learn from them. And those mistakes, you know, there's never a problem with making mistakes. The key thing there is that you learn from them as such. And like, you know, I'd say in that, whether it was playing or coaching, I've made the world of mistakes. And I continue to make mistakes, but hopefully I'm learning a little bit too.
Right. Okay. I tell you now, at this point, right, what I'm going to say to you is this, that it's been a pleasure having you on, Conor. You've been an incitement and a bit, basically, I could actually say, a good 25 minutes of great knowledge. So what I'd like to say to us and to everybody viewing this program, good night, be careful, and let's be careful out there. Thank you very much.
It Suits, attire for all occasions. North Point Business Park, Blackpool, Cork. Proud sponsors of All That Matters, Chat Show.